Marlo Thomas is back. It's been a couple of years since she last visited with us. You are so thin.
Am I?
Uh-huh. Thinner than I think last time. You've never been fat.
No, no. I eat a lot of food to try to gain weight, actually.
You want me to move back? Oh, I'm in the way. Excuse me.
Yes?
Oh, I'm upstaging you. Don't you just love these smooth shows?
That's how you got out of Dayton, huh?
Well, today marks their 40th wedding anniversary. Actress Marlo Thomas and daytime talk trailblazer Phil Donahue join us from their home to talk about their new book, What Makes a Marriage Last. It features reflections from celebrity couples, including Ron and Cheryl Howard, Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon, Jimmy and Rosalind Carter, and Jane Wagner and Lily Tomlin, just to name a few. What makes a marriage last? Well, to unlock that mystery, Marlo and Phil crisscrossed the country and conducted intimate conversations with 40 celebrated couples whose long marriages they've admired, from award-winning actors, athletes, and newsmakers to writers, comedians, musicians, a former U.S. president and first lady. Through these conversations, Marlo and Phil also reveal the rich journey of their own marriage, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas to the roundtable. How are you both doing?
We're doing great, Joe. Thank you.
We're doing very well, Joe, and thank you for that. I want several copies of that interview.
Are you guys related by any chance?
We worked on this once. No, but we could be. I have to say, first of all, congratulations on 40 wonderful years, and a happy anniversary to you. What a wonderful way to celebrate, to have such a lovely, well, of course, to have such a lovely marriage, but also to have a lovely book and talking about this institution. Phil, give me a sense, well over 40 years ago, when you met Marlo in the green room for the first time, of your show, of what that experience was like.
Well, I mean, right away, I mean, I knew she was, having been raised Catholic, she was an impure thought. But I was also impressed with her passionate commitment to women's rights, and it explains a lot about it. I mean, imagine, she was Catholic and is, and she waited until she was, I can't say it, you said.
I was 42 years old. I didn't wait at all. I was never getting married. I didn't think marriage was a institution for me. It didn't seem roomy enough, you know? It always felt like it was for one and a half persons. One person who had the dream and the other person who sort of nurtured it. And that doesn't really make, for me, a very, you know, healthy, equal relationship. And it was exciting to be, when we were dating, that Phil was very, very involved in his work, and I was very involved in my work, and we appreciated each other's commitment to our work. And I think that if we didn't have that, our work would have become an inconvenience to the other one. That you see in marriages that aren't good, where the husband or wife feels that, you know, oh, well, she cares too much about her work, or she cares more about her work than she cares about me, and all that kind of stuff. And if you're married to somebody who has an equal passion for what they do, it really is a blessing, because when I make hard decisions, I have a husband who is on my side, who wants me to have the best of what I can get out of life, and I feel the same about him. And that's parents usually feel that way about their children. They'll do anything for their children to have what they want, but it's not the same between spouses too often. We don't have that same kind of pride in the other one. I am so proud of everything Phil has accomplished, and to me it's exciting, you know, what he does.
You had been married before, Phil. You had been married before, had sons, and you come to this relationship. Marlo had not been married before, so that's a whole thing that you have to navigate, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. Especially for Marlo, you know.
I moved in with four boys and a grown man and his four boys.
My daughter was with her mother in Albuquerque.
Right. We probably could have used a little of her there. You know, I was the only female in the house. But it was quite an adjustment as a single woman living alone with two dogs and very contentedly, and all of a sudden dealing with that. But it was good, too, because it gave me something new and a lot of new love and relationships in my life. So, and I also loved watching the way Phil was with his boys. He was really, you know, a mother hen. He was darling with them.
You write about this, Marlo, but you say you never tried to be their mother. You worked really hard on the friendship. They already had a mother.
Yeah, they had a mom and they had a dad. But you get into it anyway. I mean, you know, they'd have pizza boxes under their bed, which I would, you know, make a fuss about, and picking up their towels and things like that. And I created mealtime. When I got there, they all ate in a different room watching television. And I said, let's have a dinner time. And Phil loved that. I remember you saying that.
Well, I learned a lot about my own sons just listening to them talk to Marlo. But they were glad to have her. I mean, she, what did...
Michael said to me one day, his oldest son, he said, we like it when you're here. Dad has less spazzes. So Phil was calmer. He was happier. He was, you know, he had his everything he wanted. He had his boys and he had me. So he was a happier guy.
I passed Mike once, who was on the phone.
He said, my dad's... That's what
he said... I'll have to call you back. My dad's having a spaz. So, a spaz had two Z's. There were some spazes had three Z's. But
I think that said a lot about what I brought, you know, to the family. Because it was really a family. It's a lot of people. It wasn't just one man and one kid. It was a lot of people and a lot of boys. I enjoyed it, though. I really did. And they're still in our lives. I'm the godmother to their children, and we've kept a good friendship all these years.
It is. First of all, I can't picture you, Phil, as a spazzy kind of guy, but I guess, you know, we all have those moments, right? Especially when we're home with our kids.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Also,
moments.
Yeah, and being alone, you know, not having any other...
In the early years.
Yeah, I mean, I was impatient, and I will have to, I'll take this guilt to my grave, but, you know, the kids.
Irish guilt, you know that.
Oh, I do know that.
And the kids are saying, oh, you know, stop it. You know, they're fed up with my testimonials about guilt. But, you know. They all talk to me, so I'm lucky.
I would think of Marlo Thomas moving in with marrying a guy with four sons. You go to live together. I mean, for your dad, Danny Thomas, that must have been a sitcom in the making, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, my mother said, because I had never wanted to be married, when I told my mother I'd fallen in love with a man who was raising his four sons, she said, well, what a joke on you. It was true. I mean, that was a joke right there. None of my friends could believe it. I had avoided this my whole life, and now here at 42, I'm just coming around the stretch, and I end up living with a man with four boys. But it was great, and in ways, it's given us a lot of richness in our lives.
You know, I know Phil, you and I have talked about when you married Marlo, of just how special it was to have her parents as your in-laws, of what that relationship was like.
Yes, that's true. Well, Danny raised his glass at the wedding and said, I haven't lost a daughter, I've gained a fundraiser.
And he had, too.
So, you know, somewhere during the reception, I realized that I had married a hospital. And that is certainly true. I mean, the whole family is committed to
St. Jude Children's
Research
Hospital.
Yeah, the well-being of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Let me get that all in.
Right, yeah.
But
it's what makes a whole life, you know? I mean, we have our work for St. Jude. We have the work we do in our careers and books and kids and grandkids. It's just, it's a life that we've built together. And, you know, it's interesting. Peter Herman, who's married to Mariska Hargitay, he said something I thought very intelligent. He said, people who get married and expect the person they marry to make them happy will fail. The happiness comes from what you build together.
Yeah.
What you build together, that's what the happiness is. But the other person can't make you happy. And he went on to say that the people who look for that and they don't get it because the other person is not the person that's going to make you happy, then you move on, you know, and they move on to another person. And they keep looking for this person that's going to make them happy. When, in fact, if they would settle down and take the time to build something together, whether it's work or family or a life together, that's where the happiness is. And people get afraid, I think, and they run away. They look for the escape route. And one of the things we've found in this book was that Kira Sedgwick said it very succinctly. She said, you have to go into marriage with no plan B. And that's it. This is it. You go into it not looking for the exit sign at the first sign of trouble. Because whatever trouble you come up against, that's what's going to show your mettle. Two can get through this together. I love what Michael J. Fox said. He said, whenever I hit a wall and I don't know how I'm going to get over it, that I need somebody to get up under me and get me over it, it's Tracy gets under me and helps me over that wall. That really is what marriage is. That's what teamwork is.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't have that, then you probably did not pick the right mate if you can't do that together.
Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue are our guests this morning. They're celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. Their new book is What Makes a Marriage Last? 40 celebrated couples share with us the secrets to a happy life. You know, Marlo, one of the things I found really special about the book is the range of the couples. These are not all just the beautiful love story in the sense that there are couples who have split and have come back, and there has been infidelity, there has been cheating, there have been great challenges, a health crisis. There really a little anything that life can throw you is really represented in the book.
Well, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis with her cocaine addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. And Jesse Jackson's infidelity, had a baby out of his marriage. You know, any of those things can split up a couple. And Michael J. Fox with a lifelong disease, the diagnosis in the third year of their marriage, and now they're 34 years married. I mean, you face these things together, and you get through them. You get through the fire together, and what you've got on the other side is something you built, and it's made of something real, and nobody can break that. No, because it's real.
It does seem to me, I've been married to my wife for 26 years, and it seems, and I know this may sound cliched, but I was struck by it in the book as well. There are moments where things happen, where, you know, my wife was sick, or I had an accident or something like that, and how those moments bring you closer together, and they're very trying at the moment, but you realize as you look back of just how much stronger the two of you are after you've gone through something like that.
Very true. Very true.
And Ray Romano.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk about that. She had breast cancer.
I mean, there's so many different things that...
Anna Romano was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it really shook him. I mean, it shook her, too, but
yeah.
We saw it from the husband's point of view. You know, he stopped his work. He was supposed to be off going to make some film. He canceled his work, and he was by her side, and she went in for the operation the same day his father died. I mean, it was just an enormous amount of things falling down on this guy. You get through it, as you said, with you and your wife, because you realize, too, you counted on her. Came through for you.
And
she
counted
on you.
And you realize that nobody gets out of this without certainly more than one punches in the gut.
Right.
Everybody has had really significant challenges, and they shared them with us.
Yeah.
That was a big surprise.
Yeah.
They talked very openly and candidly about their own marriage. And
like Tony Shalhoub and his wife, Brooke Adams. Brooke Adams was a big star, and he wasn't. And everywhere they went, everybody made a big fuss over her and not over him. And now they readily admit, now everybody makes a big fuss over him and not over her. That could break a marriage up, that if you felt competitive.
Now.
You felt less of yourself, but no, their bond is strong. They're in love. She's proud of him, and she's taken into painting, and she's a great actress. She really is. But work started to dry up for her, so she started working as an artist, as a painter. That marriage is strong and survives. But there are people who would have run right for the exit sign in that kind of instance. But if you've got the real stuff that you're willing to put in to the marriage, I mean, a lot of in our book went to couples therapy. Ron Howard and his wife Cheryl, mm-hmm. Neil Patrick Harris and David Burka, Al Roker and Deborah Roberts. There was another one. Oh, Bryan Cranston and Robin Dearden. Bryan's had an interesting thing. He said, you know, if you get a warning sign in your car, like a little red light or something, he said, you don't pull the car over and get under the hood and see if you can fix it. You take it to an expert. He said, if you get a warning sign in your marriage, what makes you think you can fix it?
Yeah, and that, I think, is the ultimate sign of love and commitment, to make that, to go to somebody else who's a professional and try to work out whatever is bothering you.
And then they also said that we didn't want a referee, we wanted an interpreter. Somebody that would say, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, this is what you meant.
Right.
Deborah Roberts and Al Roker talked about that. She said they were in couples therapy, and Al was explaining something, and she didn't realize until the doctor put his finger on it. She said, oh, that's what you meant. Now, that's really interesting, because people can break up over that, over the misconception of what you think the other person means.
You were saying this a few moments ago, Phil, when I was talking to you the last time. You told me a story about going into an airport and people coming up and immediately talking to Marlo about that girl. So, I mean, you two must have had that in your relationship of you both were at the top of your careers, but at one time or another, there's one who's on TV every day, maybe another one who isn't, that you had to have dealt with that.
Right. Well, I can't count the number of times people have knocked me over to get in an airport to get to Marlo.
You know, and vice versa.
Well, they'll finally turn and they'll finally recognize me and they'll say, oh, we like you too, Regis.
No, they don't.
Well, I mean, it has happened.
I think
we're lucky because we both have kind of an equal responsibility for the disruption, if you know what I mean. Before I was with Phil and I was with less known people, like a writer or someone who wasn't known, they would get annoyed to be with me with people coming up to me. You know, if it was one guy said it's like going out to dinner with the UCLA marching band. It's you know, it's not pleasant. So it's when both of you have people you are coming up to, you feel less responsible for the disruption.
I have to say, one of the things that really impressed me about the book is, of course, I'm an interviewer, so this is what I look for, but you take many of the conversations that you have, and Phil, you touched on this, that was one of the things that you surprised me. I just, the two of you of asking these very, of course, those are intimate questions about a person's marriage, and how beautiful that comes out in the book of the questions that you ask and the answers that they elicit. It's quite impressive.
Well, we were impressed too. I did not anticipate. Maybe that's just my Irish thinking, but I did not anticipate the total trust that these people had. I mean, you know, they didn't know what we were going to ask, which path we were going to take. And they were very candid with us. So we got very lucky in that sense. They were talking to us with no real apprehension about...
It was like a double date. It really was. We were surprised because, you know, in truth, we weren't going there as interviewers. We didn't see ourselves as reporters. So it wasn't like this conversation where you're asking us questions and we're not asking you any, even though I want to, because now I'm in the mood to hear everything. But Yeah. This was a sit-down double date with two people and two other people. And so they'd say something about their marriage, and then we'd say something that was kind of like that with us. Or we'd say, talk about jealousy, and then they'd talk about jealousy. So it became something that it was a conversation. And we did not have a set of questions. We decided that we would not bring in a set of questions because, we didn't want each interview to look the same. It would look like a, Playboy Q&A,
right,
one after another. Didn't want that. So we thought, we knew that we'd talk about jealousy, and of course we'd talk about fighting, but it would come up in the conversation. We wouldn't just, go out for it. Still liked asking the question about their parents' marriage, which I thought was interesting. I would never have thought to ask that.
Yeah, I did.
No, but it was interesting, and they're all married a long time, but they all didn't have parents who were married a long time. Allie Wentworth married to George Stephanopoulos. I think her parents split up when she was two, and they have a great marriage. And one of the things I think that makes a good marriage is the capacity to celebrate each other, to celebrate each other's achievements, big or small. And she was telling us that when George's contract was renewed at ABC, she and her daughters made a cake and put M&Ms on it, gave it to Daddy for his contract being renewed. That's wonderful to do. And we do that a lot. We celebrate each other and give a party for each other, do something, to celebrate it. What was I thinking of? Tell him about the PHM.
Well, it starts on the Mississippi Queen.
No, not necessarily. That would take it too far back.
Okay. All right. PHM means perfectly happy moment.
And we started noticing these kinds of things when we were first dating. We'd be having a glass of wine on a porch, and the sun would be setting. And one of us would say, isn't this just great? This is just such a happy moment. It's such a calm moment. And so we started to say to each other, this is a PHM, a perfectly happy moment. Just taking a moment to celebrate this lovely moment in your life. I think it doesn't have to be the big moment. It doesn't have to be as you're walking up to win an Emmy, or it doesn't have to be, the day your contract was renewed. It also can be the day you're just sitting looking at a beautiful sunset, having a glass of wine, and there's no problems in your life right now. Thank God for that. It's a celebration. And I think you start to savor those and put them in a little cupboard of memories, and they link together and make for something quite strong. As soft as it sounds, it's quite strong.
So how will the rest of this day go? How will you be celebrating your 40th anniversary, given that we're under lockdown?
Well, what are you going to do, Philip?
Well, I'm probably going to stay home and watch you some more.
Do the laundry? Phil's been doing the laundry. He's being very good at it.
Yeah. The bounce goes in the dry cycle.
Oh, you figured that out, did you? Yeah. Were you putting in the dishwasher? What were you doing, Phil?
Well,
we have a housekeeper who's not here now, and she's been with us for 30 years. So we're left to do these things by ourselves. And I'm sorry to admit, we don't do these usually. So we had to really, it was like a Lucy show.
Yeah. I mean, and our washer and dryer are stacked, which I think they are in most apartments. And they both have a little round window. I didn't know the difference. What, which one is the washer? And I really did. I felt pretty stupid, and I should have.
Well, I did too. I had to stand on top of the hamper with a flashlight because it was dark up there to see which one said anything about water. But we figured it out. So we've been having a pretty good time.
Well, it's nice that at least you, of course, have this time and special time together. What a beautiful marriage. What a beautiful book that you've created. It's What Makes a Marriage Last. 40 celebrated couples share with us the secrets to a happy life. The book is published by Harper One. Marlo Thomas and Phil Donahue, I just love both of you. I thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us, and I wish you all the luck in the world and a very happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, What Makes a Marriage Last. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I'm sorry that we are out of time. You are really fascinating.
No, but you are wonderful. I said it when we were off the air, and I want to say you are loving and generous, and you like women, and it's a pleasure. And whoever is the woman in your life is very lucky.
Well, thank you very much. Marlo Thomas stars in Thieves for Paramount Pictures, and we hope that you have a nice day. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.